And we're holding on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, the third line. And we talked about yesterday the question of when a husband or father is made for a neder, whether he actually has to have heard the neder or not. So we left the question open. So now the Gemara continues on a similar question. Boi Rami Bachama, Cheresh Mahu Shiyofa Le'ishtar. Would a person who is deaf, would he be able to be mefer for his wife? Now the Ran points out that the kind of deaf person we're talking about necessarily has to mean somebody who's able to speak, even though he's not able to hear. Usually in Gemara terminology, a cheresh usually means somebody who can't hear and can't speak. But they point out here it certainly wouldn't work that because there's no question he has to be able to say the hafara verbally. So the only question is, though he can't hear her net. So im tim tzalema baal mefer bal, and the question is about his wife, but all of the mafoshim point out the same basic question would be about a father with his daughter as well. Im tim tzalema baal mefer bal shmiya. Now, if you're going to say that the answer to the previous question would be that the husband is able to cancel the neder without hearing, the reason is you could say mishum de bar mishmahu, because at least he's able to hear. Avo cheresh delav bar mishmahu. But when it comes to a cheresh, when it comes to a deaf person who is physically incapable of hearing the neder, hainu de Rav Zeira, then maybe we should apply what Rav Zeira says. The Omer Rav Zeira, we have this rule all over Shas. We had it in Yevamos in connection with Chalitza, and we have it all over the place. Now you have the background for the rule is the Mishnah tells us in Menachos that there's a certain maximum size mincha that a person can bring. The Gemara established the Mishnah and the Gemara established over there that the maximum size mincha that a yochid can bring is 60 esroin. And why is that? So it discusses it. One reason that it mentions, Rabbi Yehuda gives a reason, because when it's larger than that, it's impossible to mix the flour and oil properly. So the question comes up, so what? The halacha is with a mincha, if you don't mix the ingredients together, even if you just have the flour and the oil together in the keli, and they're not mixed, the mincha is still kosher. So Rav Zeira says a rule, which the Gemara uses throughout Shas, kol haroi labila, anything which could potentially be mixed, then mixing is not ma'akev. The fact that you could have mixed it is good enough even if you don't actually mix it. But if it's impossible to mix it, then the fact that it's not mixed prevents it from being kosher. So in other words, given that a mincha of 60 esroinim is impossible to mix, then that's reason enough to say that in fact it is also, that it is possible. As opposed to if it was less than 60, since conceivably you could have mixed it, even though in practice you didn't, then that's fine and the mincha is still kosher. So applying that in many other areas in Shas, for example, we had it in Yevamos as far as Chalitza, that if the Yavam doesn't say his part or the Yevama doesn't say her part, then b'dievet it's kosher. But if they're mute and unable to speak, then the Chalitza would be possible for the same reason, because they're not roi labila, they're not capable of speaking, so therefore it's possible because they didn't speak. Applying that over here also, the same idea. We might say, maybe the husband or the father doesn't have to hear the neder, but at least he has to be capable of hearing the neder. And therefore, if he's not, then maybe, in fact, then he can't be made for the neder. Or maybe we would say that b'chlal, instead the pasuk says that her husband hears, or her father hears, as the case may be, is not actually ma'akev. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava Toshma. So Rava brings a proof from a Braisa. A Braisa clearly says, Vashama Isha Prachla Isha Scheresh. A Braisa clearly says that if her husband hears, that comes to exclude that those words, Vashama Isha, come to exclude if he's deaf, that they are in fact, since he's incapable of hearing, then therefore he can't be made for the neder. Shmamina, so good, that proves it. Now, so what is that? How does that bear on the previous discussion? The Ran brings from the Ramban that like this. Since we're saying that a cheresh, because he's incapable of hearing, therefore he can't be made for the neder, the implication is that other than that, it doesn't matter that he didn't actually hear it. The fact is that he could have heard it. So therefore, so. Uh, So it's true. Now, why didn't, now the question is, the Ran asks, and all the other Mephoshim also deal with, why indeed, if Rava knew of this Braisa, why didn't he bring it in the previous discussion? And then we could have answered from that, and we could have said that the Braisa is clearly saying that only a Cheresh can't be Mefer, implying, but otherwise he would be able to. The fact is, the Ran says, the Gemara didn't do that, Rava didn't do that, because he knew that the Gemara could easily slug it up and say that maybe the Mishnah is mentioning the Cheresh, because that would be the normal case when he doesn't hear, but in fact the same din would apply, maybe that a husband who didn't hear, or a father who didn't hear, maybe in fact is unable to be Mefer for the same reason. Maybe it's not a matter of being Roy, maybe it's just, the fact is he has to be able to hear. So therefore, so we couldn't prove, but now at least we can use it to prove, to answer Rami Bahama's second question about a Cheresh. Clearly, we see that a Cheresh cannot be Mefer. Nonetheless, though, so that's what the Ran says, why the Gemara didn't bring that, why the Gemara didn't bring that Braisa before. Tosfos and the Rosh say a little bit differently, that the Gemara itself was, or the Tana himself, maybe you could say the Tana himself is unsure about the din of whether, if he's able to hear, but in practice he didn't hear, whether it works for Hafara. So therefore the Tana uses the example of a Cheresh, where it's very clear that he can't be made for. Maybe the Tana didn't mention the case of where he could hear, but in fact he didn't, because the Tana himself was unsure about it. Whatever the case, the point is, so the Ran says, and the, given that, after all, first of all, at the very least, we do have the fact is, this Braisa does say that a Cheresh can't be Mefer, implying that if he was not a Cheresh, then he could have been Mefer. So fine, you could deflect that and say, maybe like we just said, that maybe the Tana himself was unsure, or maybe the Tana is... Or maybe you could say that the Tana is using the most simple possible case, but in fact it would apply to another case also. The fact is, we do have the Braisa, plus also we have in Rami Bahama's new question about the Cheresh, he uses the expression im timtza loymar, if you're going to think to say Baal Mefer b'loy shmiya, and then the question is based on that. And as we've said many times before, the Rishonim explain that that's a rule that goes back to the Gaonim, actually, that when the Gemara uses the expression im timtza loymar, it amounts to saying that, yes, the halacha is like that. So ultimately, yes, the halacha ends up being established that the husband can be mefer even without hearing the neder. And for that matter, and so can the father, even without hearing the neder. So this is how it's brought, the halacha is, that if the father is capable of hearing the neder, even though in fact he didn't, then he's able to be he's able to be made for the neder. But if he's incapable of hearing, namely there's a cheresh, then in fact he can't be made for the neder. Okay. So the Gemara says he boiled. Now we have another question. Baal Mausha Yofra L'Shtei Nosha B'Vasachas. Can a husband be made for both wives together? So in other words, he has two wives, and both of them are made nedarim. So now he turns to both of them and says, both of you are mufer. Would that work? Do we say, oisa davka? Now the pasuk says that when her husband hears about it, yoni oisa, then he discourages her from keeping the neder, namely, we said, by being made for it. So is the word oisa specifically, davka, that it has to be only one wife? Or maybe not. Maybe the Torah is just using the expression oisa, because typically that's how it'll be. A man has only one wife, or even if he has more than one wife, only one is making the nedarim at any given time. But maybe in fact you could say that oisa is not meant to exclude to be able to do it for two wives together. And again, the Ran explains that the question would be not only as far as a husband, but also as far as a father who has two daughters. Same idea. So the Gemara says, Amar Avina Toshma. Let's bring a proof. A Braisa says, "Ein mashkin shtei sotas ka'achas." When it comes to a sota, where we bring her to the Beis Hamikdash and we go through the whole procedure over there, and we give her the water or the sota to drink, you're not allowed to do that for two sotas at the same time. It can mean that both of them are standing over there and you're giving them each their drink. It could mean to begin with, to just having both standing there, even if they're only going to be drinking one after the other, whatever. There are different mephoshim about the details of that. But the point is that you're not allowed to do that. Because her heart is familiar with the other one. In other words, what's going to happen? Like this, we're trying the whole time with the Saita. We want to convince her to admit that she was, that in fact she did wrong, that she was Mizana, in order that we don't end up having to erase Hashem's name. So we try, we do all kinds of things, as we're going to learn in a few months, Bez Hashem. In Masechta Saita, we do a whole bunch of different things to her to try and to try and make her give in and be murdered if in fact she was Mizana. So now, if you have two women standing together over there, so one of them is going to, one of them is not going to, so one of them may in fact be guilty, but she's not going to go and admit it because she's embarrassed to do it in front of her friend. Or she figures, you know, if my friend can be a tough one and not, if my friend can tough it out and not admit, then I can do the same thing. The Rosh explains, so the Tosfos rather explains slightly differently. Part of what we try to convince the Saita is we try to convince her that, after all, having Hashem's name erased in vain is a pretty serious thing. In other words, there's two different aspects. We're trying to convince the Saita, if you're guilty, don't go through with it, because you're going to end up, after you drink the Saita water, you're going to swell up and explode. But we also try, Tosfos is pointing out another angle, we're also trying to point out to her, don't cause that Hashem's name should be erased unnecessarily. So one angle on it is that if there's another woman over there, she's more likely to tough it out and say, you know what, if that woman can tough it out and is not afraid of and is not afraid of exploding from the water, then neither am I. But the other point is that Tosfos makes is that also we're going to tell her, don't cause Hashem's name to be erased. If there's another woman there, she's going to think to herself, well, you know what, the other woman had Hashem's name erased for her, so why shouldn't I do that as well? So in any case, we're saying you can't do that. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo min Hashem huzeh, and then Rabbi Yehuda says that's not the reason. The reason is el mishum shenem v'hishka, because the pasuk says that he should give her to drink. The mapik hay amounts to the word her, and therefore it means oisa levada. So it means only her by herself, not together with another woman. So what does this mean? Bear on our sugya over here, on our question of hafara to two women. So there's two ways of understanding it, says the Ram. One way of understanding it is that given that over there the Chachamim are saying that you can't, because liba gas b'chavata. So they're saying that the word oisa doesn't necessarily mean her by herself. So now the halacha would be like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda. Well, therefore, so applying that over here, you don't have the issue of liba gas b'chavata. The Chachamim are not saying that the word oisa in and of itself means that you have to do only one of them at a time. The only reason they're saying one at a time with the Saita is because of a practical thing, liba gas b'chavata. So in that case, that wouldn't apply to Afaras Nedarim. So in that case, then if we follow that, then we would say that over here, we would be able to be, that he would be able to be made for the neder for both of them. And there are a number of Rishonim who learn that way. And in fact, the Tesefta in our Masechta seems to back that up. On the other hand, continues the Ramban disagrees. Because the Gemara there in Sota explains that and by the way, the Gemara interestingly mentions over there a nafgamina between these two reasons. If after all, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda hold that you can't give two Sotas to drink at one time, and one is saying because of the Pasuk, and one is saying because Liba Gas B'Chabata, and the other one saying because of the Pasuk, so what's the nafgamina? Either way, you can't do it. The Gemara gives a nafgamina over there. What if we see that she's trembling? So she's clearly afraid of the effect of the water of the Saita, or of the punishment that she's going to get for causing Hashem's name to be erased in vain. So if we say the problem is liba gas b'chavata, that she's too comfortable around the other one and she's going to tough it out, obviously she's not. She's so afraid, then we don't have to worry that she has that kind of mentality. On the other hand, if we say that it's a xeris hakosav, oisa means her by herself, then we would say that Xeris HaKosev, you can only give one at a time, even if she's in fact trembling. So the Gemara gives that in Soita as a nafkamina between the two reasons. Anyway, the Ram says, brings from the Ramban over here, that you can look at it like this. The Ramban says, the Gemara in Soita explains that the Tanakhama, who's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you can't because Liba Gas B'Chabata, is in fact Reb Shimon. Now, Reb Shimon, all over Shas, is, we say about him, Dorish Taima Dekra. Reb Shimon always looks for the reason behind why the Torah says a certain mitzvah and says that based on that reason is how we should determine when the din applies or not. So in this case, Reb Shimon would say, as the Gemara says over there, since the reason why the Torah would say Oisa is because Liba Gas B'chavata, therefore, if that's not an issue, then in fact, you could give them both to drink at a time. Now, if we look at it that way, well, then first of all, it comes out that both Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda essentially do agree that the word Oisa means one woman by herself. So applying that over here to Afaras and Dorim, the result would be you could be made for only for one at a time. And second of all, also, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon in this matter of Darshin and Taima Dekra. We don't say that we look at the reason behind a din and then we apply the din only when that reason applies. For example, the classic case where Reb Shimon mentions this concept of Darshin and Taima Dekra, for example, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kiseitse that you're not allowed to take a mashgun from an almon, you're not allowed to take a pledge, a security for a loan from an almon. So what happens? So Reb Shimon is Dorish Taima Dekra. Reb Shimon says, well, why should an almona be any different than anybody else? Evidently, the reason is, Reb Shimon says, because we know the Torah tells us that when you take a mashkin from a poor person, you have to return it to them every day or every night so that they can use it. If it's a blanket, for example, you have to return it to them every night. If it's a tool, you have to return it to them during the day. So what happens, Reb Shimon says, if you take such a security from an almona, every day you're going to have to go to her to return it. After a while, rumors are going to start flying. Why are you visiting this almona every day? What's going on over here? So therefore, Reb Shimon says, given that, then evidently the Torah does not mean this din to apply to a rich almona where you don't need to return the mashkin every day. A rich almona has plenty of clothing or plenty of whatever it is that she gave as a mashkin. She doesn't need it every day. Only a poor person does. Therefore, Reb Shimon says, and a rich woman, there's no problem taking a mashkin from. Now, the Chachamim disagree with that. The halacha is like the Chachamim. And throughout Shas, we say the halacha is not like Reb Shimon in that regard. That we would say, Darshin and Taima Dekra. Well, then, in that case, says the Ramban, applying that over here, since the Gemara explains that this matter of giving both soitas at the same time is, according to Reb Shimon, based on Taima Dekra, that he says the reason why the Torah says not to do them together is Liba Gas B'chavata, but we don't follow Reb Shimon in that. We say that Gzeres HaKosev is Gzeres HaKosev whether it applies or not. Well, then that would mean the word Oisa fundamentally does mean only one at a time. And even Reb Shimon, even Reb Shimon would agree with that point. He would just say that in that particular case, there's a reason why not to say that. Well, then, in that case over here, the result would be that the word Oisa would tell us that in fact you can only be mefer for one wife at a time, and therefore, unlike the previous opinion that says that we could conclude from that proof from the soita that you could be mefer for both of them at a time. So Lamaisa, the Rambam and following him, the Shulchan Aruch say that you could be mefer. The Rambam at least writes that you could be mefer for both of them at a time, and I think the Shulchan Aruch says the same thing. Mishnah says, Amud Beis, Begeres Shashasa Yud Beis Chodesh. Now we learned previously in Ksubas that When a couple does erusin, then after that they start preparing for their wedding. And we touched on this the other day. A naira usually takes 12 months to prepare for the wedding. A begeris usually takes less time than that. And we discussed the other day how long that is. It can be 30 days. It can be that what it is it's 30 days or 12 months from when she became a begeris, whichever one comes later. Now we also learned from Ksubas, and we're going to be rediscussing this over here now, that once that time comes, the husband is already chayav to support his wife. We learned in Ksubas that a husband has an obligation to support his wife. So he's not obligated to do that during the erusin. But once the 12 months or the 30 days, as the case may be, comes, then he becomes chayav to support her, even though they haven't actually gotten married yet. We, at the very, very beginning of Ksubas, we discussed the question, does that apply even if there's an oynus? What if they can't get married because he's sick or she's sick, or it's not one of the days of the week when the Chachamim said to get married yet, etc. But anyway, the basic idea is that the Chassan has the responsibility to start supporting her at that point once the time has come. It's not Chalukas Rishonim whether we count the 12 months from when he told her, let's get, from when he was Makadish her, or from when he said, let's set a date for the wedding, or vice versa, from when she says, let's set a date for the wedding, but whatever the case. Anyway, so now the Gemara says, Begeres Shashasa Yud Beis Chodesh. So now you have a girl, a Begeres, who has already waited 12 months. And we learned the other day in the Gemara that we actually have to break that up because a Begeres doesn't get 12 months. We said a Begeres gets less than that. So we said in the Gemara the other day that what it means is a Begeres, or if 12 months have passed, meaning, in other words, so a Begeres who's already 12 months have already passed from when she became a Begeres, and at that point she only needs 30 days, or a Naira, we needs 12 months from when the husband said, let's get married. Or in the case of an almana, it's always 30 days. So in all those cases, Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer says, since the husband is chayev to give her mizonis after that point, therefore he has already the right to cancel her nedarim as well. Because at that point, even though the nisuin haven't taken place yet, Rabbi Eliezer is still taking the view that they're considered to a certain extent married. We said to the extent that he's chayiv in her mizonis, therefore to the extent that he can also be made for her nedarim. The chum say no, he can't be made for until she actually enters his rishus. Namely, that the chuppah, that the nisuin takes place. The Ran points out, by the way, who would the chachamim be over here is Rabbi Yeshua. In general, when you have a machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer, and somebody else, it's usually Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Rabbi Eliezer, Mishnah Rishona Amru Davar Achad. What Rabbi Eliezer is expressing in our Mishnah amounts to the same thing as the Mishnah Rishon. Now, we learned in Ksubas, and we're going to quote now, that there were differences there was an original din that the Chachamim said, and then they changed their mind. The later Beis Din decided differently in terms of this matter of the husband's relationship with his wife after that deadline has passed. So the Mishnah, the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Ksubas, Noistin Lebsula Yud Beis Chodesh Lefanes Atzma, we allow for a Besula 12 months to prepare herself for the wedding, to prepare cosmetics and jewelry and whatever else she needs. So he Gia Yud Beis Chodesh, once the 12 months have passed, so once the 12 months have passed, she's entitled to start eating from her husband's nechosim, meaning her husband is already required at that point to start supporting her. They haven't done the nisuin and they haven't had first relations yet, but since the 12 months have passed and it's not her fault that the wedding is delayed, so again, we learned at the very beginning of Ksubas that maybe, for example, if she's delaying the wedding, if she's getting cold feet, or maybe even if he's sick, where therefore it's an onus on his part that he's not able to get married, maybe it would be different, but here, where he's perfectly capable of getting married, and he's delaying it, so already she's entitled to eat from his nechosim, but and also she's entitled at that point to eat from truma if he's a kohen, because even though they haven't done the nisuin yet, Nevertheless, he's able to give her truma to eat.
What's about the problem about eating? What we're worried that if she's going to take and give it to her family, we talked about in Ksubas,
and we're going to touch on over here that the Gemara gives over there two different reasons why the later Chachamim, the Mishnah says, based in Shalach Reim Omri, that a later based in said differently. That she can only eat truma when she goes into the chuppah. And yes, we discussed in Ksugas over there two reasons for it. One is what you're mentioning is the reason because she may take some of that truma and give it to her family. The other reason the Gemara brings over there is that he may find a simpoin. A simpoin means something that causes a business deal to fall through. Literally, a simpoin means something that cancels. For example, we use the word simpoin to refer to a shover, to refer to a receipt. You have a shtar that says that Reuven owes Shimon money. You may have a simpoin, you may have a receipt that says that, in fact, Reuven paid it off. The same way over here, a simpon would mean sometime during the time of the kiddushin, before they do the nisuin, the chosin may find that his kala has a mum, and therefore he wants to break the eruv, and therefore he wants to break the eruv. Okay, can't really break the erusin, but in other words, to give her a get. So for those two reasons, because of simpon, we discussed there in Ksubas, Rabbi Yochanan and Ula have the reasons because of simpon, or because she may give some of the food to her family because she's still living at home. But that's the base in Shalach Re'en. Right now, we're talking about the Mishnah Rishona is not worried about either of those things for reasons that the Gemara discusses over there. It was Ula and Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda. So Ula had said because she might give to her family. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda had said because he might find a simpoin. But the Mishnah Rishona, the original Bastin that said this, wasn't concerned about either one of those things. So they stuck to the din d'oraisa that really as soon as he's makadish her, then he's able to give her truma, because so you wouldn't even have to wait 12 months, because the pasuk says that truma can be eaten by kinyan kaspoy, by somebody who's acquired with money by the kohen, and therefore that applies to an arusa where he's given her money for kedushin. The original Beis Din said that, look, you know, once 12 months have passed, then that's good enough. She can already start eating truma, even though she's still living at home. And we're not worried about simpon, and we're not worried about that she may give it to her family. So now it comes out, says Rabba, Rabbi Eliezer is in effect saying the same thing, because Rabbi Eliezer is saying in our Mishnah that once 12 months have passed, or 30 days, as the case may be, then already her husband can be made for her nedarim. So therefore, that shows. So Rabbi Eliezer is following that Mishnah Rishona. The Mishnah Rishona is saying that for that purpose, we consider them to be completely married to the extent that he's chayev and her mezonos. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is taking from that also that he's also considered fully married to her to the extent that he could be made for her nedarim. Now continues the Braisa. Before we get to discussing this point further, the Gemara brings the rest of the Braisa. Abel ha-yavam ain't a machal b'truma. However, if it's a yavam, so if she's waiting for yibum, she's a shemeres yavam, ain't a machal oise b'truma, a yavam is not able to give her truma. And the reason is, we learned over there in Ksubas, because he can only give her only when she's kinyan kaspoy, only when she's acquired with his money. Well, a yavam doesn't do that. A yavam doesn't acquire her with money. He acquires her as a result of the fact that his brother was married to her. So therefore, only when he actually does the yibum, only when he actually does the bia with her, only then can she start eating truma again. And the Braisa continues, suppose she spent 6 months with her husband, meaning that so her husband had been mekadesh her, 6 months passed, and then he died. And now the remaining 6 months is with the yavam. So we still don't say that she can eat truma. But I feel a kulan b'fnei abal chosu yemechad, even if all of them were with her husband minus one day, so she was miskadish to Reuven, and then they were in the Erusin, and they're preparing the wedding for 11 months and 29 days, and then Reuven dies, and now she's a shemeres yavam b'shimen. So even though only one day is missing, or vice versa, if it's all in the presence of the yavam minus one day, so in other words, the other way around, that she was miskadish to Reuven and he lasted for one day and then he died, and now she's a shemeres yavam to Shimon for the remainder of the 12 months. In all of those cases, eina echelus b'truma, she's not able to eat truma because you need the entire 12 months to be with her husband who actually made her kinyan kaspoy. The Ran, by the way, mentions that in that sugya in Ksubas, Rashi has the girsa over there, like we have it, that even if all of it is in front of the husband, chosu yoymechod, and that Rashi explains, it doesn't even mean chosu yoymechod, even if all 12 months passed with the original husband, and then the husband died after the 12 months, still she can't eat as long as she's a shemeres yavam. On the other hand, the Rambam's Rabbi Tam says over there in the sugya that no, as a matter of fact, if all 12 months had been with the husband, then in fact she would be able to eat, even when she says Shemeras Yavam. Fine, granted, the Yavam can't allow her to eat because he's not Kenyan Kaspoy to him. On the other hand, he shouldn't be able to prevent her from eating if we say, according to the missionary Shona, that after 12 months from when they got, from the Kiddushin, or from the Tviya, when he said to her, let's start setting a date for the wedding, at that point, we said 12 months have passed, and according to the missionary Shona, if her husband was alive, she'd still be able to eat Truma. We're not going to take her that away from her, says Rabbeinu Tam, just because her husband died, and now she's with a Yavam. Mela, fine. You could say if the full 12 months haven't passed, look, she wouldn't have been able to eat Truma yet because of her husband, because you have to wait until 12 months, even according to missionary Shona. But still, once 12 months have passed, Rabbeinu Tam says, then that would be good enough for her to eat Truma, even though now her husband is dead. On the other hand, we're saying that Rashi disagrees and says that no, when it says Chosu Yom Echad, even if it was the full 12 months with her husband, once she becomes a Shemeres Yavam, then yes, she loses the right to eat Truma until the Yavam actually does Yibum, and then she can eat Truma again, of course, assuming that her husband and the Yavam are both clean. Okay, so that's the Braisa. So the point is, the point is, though, from the Reisha of the Braisa, we see that once the end of the 12 months comes, echelos mishaloiva, echelos betruma, then she's entitled to food from her chosen, even though they haven't actually gotten married yet, and she's entitled to eat truma, even though they haven't actually gotten married yet. So now, Rabba says, so Rabbi Eliezer is evidently going according to missionary Shona, the same way as missionary Shona says that she's entitled to support at that point, the same way Rabbi Eliezer says that her husband is entitled to be made for her nedarim at that point. And the Braisa finishes off, based in Shalachareim Amru, a later based in said, no, Eino Isha, Echelos B'Truma, Ad Shetikonis L'Chuppah, a woman cannot eat Truma until she actually enters the Chuppah. So Rabbi Eliezer would be following missionary Shona, and then we're saying the fact is that based in Shalachareim Amru, a later based in changed their mind because of Ullah's reason about Simpon, or because of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda's reason, or the other way around, because of Ullah's reason, because she may give food to her family while she's living with them, and it'll be food of Truma, or of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Bar Yehuda's reason, because of Simpon, is why a later Beis Din said that no, only when she actually enters the chuppah, only at that point she's going to be living with her husband. So now there's no problem that she may give food to her family anymore. And there's no problem of Simpoin because the Gemara explained that he's not going to go, we learned in Ksubas, that he's not going to go and do the Nisuin and have relations with her before he checks out thoroughly to make sure that she doesn't have Mumim. And if at that point she does in fact have Mumim, then he's willing to be Moichel on it. So therefore, so once they're fully married, then she can eat Truma, but not before that. Anyway. So that's what Rabba says. So Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah would be specifically according to Mishnah Rishon. Omele Abaya, but Abaya says that's not necessarily a proof. Duma Loihi, maybe it's not so. Maybe in fact you can draw a distinction between the Mishnah Rishona and Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Ad kan loy kashmin and Mishnah Rishona elol mechel b'truma d'rabbanon. Maybe the Mishnah is telling us the Mishnah Rishona is, look, we're only talking about eating truma where the iser on it is d'rabbanon. After all, we said before that Minatora, as soon as they do the Erusin, she would be able to eat Truma, because at that point she's Kenyan Kaspoy. It's only Midrabbanon, even according to the missionary Shona. It's Midrabbanon that we wait 12 months for her to be able to eat it. So therefore, you could argue that the missionary Shona is saying, look, once 12 months have passed, then we're willing to give her the dispensation which all along she would have had Daraisa and to be able to eat Truma. A different explanation that the Mefarish printed under Rashi's name says over here, and that Tosfos Yeshanim says there in Yevamos, is that Truma Dirabbanan may mean exactly that. We're talking about only the kind of Truma which is Dirabbanan in the first place. We learned earlier in the Masechta, Truma of vegetables, according to some Yeshanim, also Truma of any fruits other than grain and grapes and olives, also maybe Truma nowadays, if we say that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is bottled during the time of Golos, during the time when there's no Beis Hamikdash, and that Truma during this time is only Drabbanon, well, so that would be another meaning of Truma Drabbanon over here. Avol Nedarim Doraisa. But when it comes to Nedarim and the husband being able to be made for them, which is Doraisa, Emaloi, maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah Rishona, even though it's saying that after 12 months she can eat Truma, maybe that's only because, again, Doraisa, she would have been able to eat Truma from the Erusin. Or because anyway, maybe we're only talking about truma, which is considered truma de rabbanon, and therefore we're going to give her a break and allow her to eat it after 12 months, but not necessarily with the donim daraisa, where there you need the orus to be made for on a daraisa level for the neder to not be in effect. Aim aloy, maybe not. Maybe even the Mishnah Rishona would say that you can't be made for Nedarim under such circumstances. Now Rabba doesn't have to agree with that. Rabba can say that the Ran explains. Rabba can say that if you didn't have that with Nedarim, which are Daraisa, that it should be possible after 12 months, according to Rabbi Eliezer, then the Chachamim wouldn't even allow it by Truma either. Even the Mishnah Rishona wouldn't allow it by Truma either, because the Chachamim do make, when they make a Takana, they usually try to make it as strong as the original Din Daraisa that it's based off of. So only because we find, so Rabba would say, only because we find with the Dorim Daraisa that Rabbi Eliezer is Makel, based on that, the Mishnah Rishona could use that as a basis for saying that we can be Makel the same way with Truma Durabana. So not necessarily though, says Abaya. So you, Rabba, may say that the Mishnah Rishona agrees with Rabbi Eliezer, but not necessarily. They might disagree with him, and vice versa, continues Abaya. The ad kan l'shamat leilah Rabbi Eliezer ella gabe nedarim, and vice versa. Where are we seeing that Rabbi Eliezer says that you can be makel and he can be mefer is only by nedarim? And you could say the reason behind that is kedira Pinchas mishmei deRava. The reason behind that would be based on what Rabbi Pinchas says in the name of Rava, da'ama kol nederes adas baila he nederes, that he says that in general when a woman makes a neder, she makes it on the basis of her husband's das. Now the fact is, of course, the husband needs to be made for it, but nevertheless, the fact that she to begin with made the neder on his das means, in other words, that therefore, so if he doesn't want the neder, then you could say that obviously then it means that it didn't follow his das. So therefore, you could say that once he's chayiv and her mezonis, then already he's considered enough of her husband to be mefer, even though they haven't done nisuin yet, because once he's already supporting her, then she makes the neder al daito. So, in fact, the Ran goes on to explain the Chachamim would agree with that basic idea. So they would disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. They would say that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that just like he's mefarnes her, therefore she's only neder on his das. The Chacham say that no. The fact is, you don't say. Let's say, and imagine that a third party was supporting her, not her husband. Would you say that she's making a neder specifically on that person's das? No, of course not. So why would you say it by a husband? So therefore, so the Chacham disagree with that svara, but they do accept the basic idea that a wife makes a neder based on her husband's das. So, in fact, we see that from the fact that Ran points out there's a Gemara in Nida that says that if a girl was married in a way which is only Dirabbanan, then her husband can be made for her Nedarim. Now, why would that work? If she's a Ketana that was married off by her brothers or her mother, as we learned in Yevamos, where then she has the possibility of Mion, her marriage was only Dirabbanan, how can her husband be made for her Nedarim? The answer is based on this idea that to begin with, her Neder is only Al-Das, that her husband will agree. And the Chachamim do agree with that basic concept. So you could say Rabbi Eliezer says in that case that gives us a reason for us to allow the husband to be mefer in this case, given that he's supporting her anyway and she's neder on the das of her husband. Aval truma, but when it comes to truma, afilu midrabbanan, even though we're only talking about gzeira midrabbanan, or even though we're only talking about truma which is applicable only midrabbanan, even so you could say nami lo yachla, still maybe we're not going to allow her to eat it even after the 12 months, as long as they don't actually go into the chuppah. So the same way as Abaye is saying, the same way as the Mishnah Rishonim doesn't necessarily agree with Rabbi Eliezer, they wouldn't necessarily say that he can be made for Hunadarim. The same way, vice versa, Rabbi Eliezer does not necessarily agree with the Mishnah Rishonim and say that she would be able to eat Truma after the 12 months. Maybe he only says his din only in the special case of Hafaras Nadarim. So no proof that Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah Rishonim agree. The Ran points out an interesting side thing over here. Now, what are we saying? We're saying because the wife usually makes the neder, al das that her husband would agree. Therefore, if her husband ends up not agreeing, then we're saying that there's room for the neder to be bottle. So Rabbi Eliezer is going to go so far as to say that he can be made for it. The Chachamim aren't going to say that he can be made for it just on that basis, because the fact is they're not married yet. But once they're married, then the Chachamim would agree with that point, even when the marriage is only Dirabbanan. So now the Ram says that Yesh Oimrim, that the same thing would apply. Suppose that Reuven makes a neder, al das Shimon. So maybe, in other words, the same thing. If Shimon says that he disapproves, then maybe in fact the neder is batal. On the other hand, the Ran says so. According to that, so maybe you could say that. So maybe you could say then that if Reuven makes a neder on the das of Shimon, then maybe he could be matur it even without being matur neder. We would say that the same way, in other words, the other maybe not that the neder would be bottle right away, sorry, but maybe the other person can be mafer. Maybe we have a case where the other person is able to be mafer. Maybe he can say, you know what, I disapprove of this neder, and therefore I disagree with it, and therefore it's not on my das. So would that work? We're saying over here, after all, that the Chachamim agree that there are cases where the husband can be mefer for his wife, even though the marriage maybe doesn't exist on a Daraisa level, because she's neder on his das. So maybe the same thing applies to any two people. So we would say, in other words, Sarah Pinchas' rule would say that with the husband you have a special thing, Zeres HaKosu, but we would generalize from that anything that's al das, then it can be bottled. On the other hand, we could say maybe not. Maybe exactly that. Maybe we could say that only where the Torah says that you can do it, namely a husband to a wife, maybe there you could do that. But maybe otherwise not. Maybe a third party. No, not a third party. Maybe in this case, if Reuven says, I'm making my neder, al das of Shimon, maybe Shimon does not have the ability to be mefer. Maybe the Torah reserves that only for the husband. So the Ran brings up both possibilities. What he says is, now, it is true that if the person says clearly, he says, I'm making this neder, and if my friend wants this neder, so it's not just that he's saying al das, but he clearly says, if Shimon approves of this neder, then it should be a neder. Then it's true. If Shimon disapproves of it, then it's not a neder. So all it is, in other words, so with the husband, you don't need any specific lashon, but here you would need a specific lashon that you would say, if he says, this neder is valid only if Shimon approves of it, then if Shimon disapproves of it, it's like any other tanai, and the neder is bottled. What we're saying is, if he says, al das Shimon, would it work for Shimon to be mefer? That you have the two possibilities that the Ran brings up, maybe yes, maybe not. Okay. Shukayach.